This is the interview with Marion C. Cooper, and this is April the 3rd, 1965.
Prior to World War I, I worked for the Minneapolis Daily News, long since merged with the other Minneapolis papers controlled by the Coles brothers. I then went to Des Moines, where I worked for the Des Moines Register Leader, which was controlled by Coles Sr. And I then from then went to St. Louis and worked for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch a couple of weeks when the announcement came over the wire that President Wilson was calling out the National Guard for service in Mexico. Period. I did not serve on the New York Times until after my return from Poland. In other words, I worked for the Minneapolis, Des Moines, St. Louis papers in 1915 and early 16, or mostly 1915, and I worked for the New York Times in 1920, late 1920 and early 21. I was on the New York Times exactly 6 months to a day when I quit to be an explorer, hopefully.
Entering World War One, did you first join the Air Force over in France?
No, I was the cadet captain. I was sent from my National Guard outfit as one of the two picked top non-commissioned officers to go to Fort McPherson, Georgia, where I was selected as one of the 9 out of 119 volunteers, as I recall it, to go to the first ground school, which was at Georgia Tech. I there became cadet captain and was the honor graduate of my class. I then went direct from there to training and flying at Mineola, Long Island, New York, and was then sent to France as a first lieutenant. I afterwards became a captain.
I see.
In the Air Service. First it was called the Aviation Section Signal Corps, it became the Air Service.
Is this statement correct about the being shot behind the German lines and the plastic surgery?
The statement is correct, except that my face was bruised. My hands were much worse burned than my face, only my lips were badly burned in my face, as I had a face mask on. My hands, I had no gloves, were very badly burned. And the Germans did a beautiful job on it, but I've had trouble with them ever since. I was shot down September 26, 1918. The war was over November 11, 1918. And I didn't get out of hospital till well in December. I was one of the last people out of Germany because I wasn't in shape to be moved.
Now, is this the time or thereabouts that you first met Ernest Schoedsack?
Yes. I met Schoedsack on my way to Poland for the American Relief Administration, where I served at the Siege of Lwów from February of March 1919 until July 1919. And I met him in Vienna. The only way you couldn't get into Poland through Germany at that time. You had to go to Trieste and go up by railroad there. All Europe was waste torn up even then after World War II, as far as communications were concerned. And I met him in Vienna. He had been a photographer, a combat photographer, one of the first in history, and now was a captain in the Red Cross as a photographer on his way to Poland. I met him, and he was with me at the siege of Kiev, where I commanded the aviation in the spring of 1920.
I see.
But he was always at the Red Cross.
Now, is Mrs. Harrison's account of her first meeting with you in Poland, she described it in her autobiography.
Well, I forgot what she said, but
you were in prison and the fact that
she said we helped.
She helped.
Yes, I was.
And that you had met her originally at some place in Poland there prior to your being in prison.
Yes, she was She was a great friend of the Hamiltons of Baltimore, Maryland, and Johnny Hamilton flew with me in World War One. She brought an introduction from Hamiltons to me in Poland. And I was back from the front for 2 or 3 days and saw her in Warsaw. And then she sent me food in prison, and she was imprisoned herself, and that's another long story, but I certainly, she did wonderful things for me. When I returned from Poland, I was a reporter for the New York Times, and that was the year, was the late 1920 and early 1921, and I wrote those stories, which now form the book Things Men Die For the New York Times Sunday Magazine. I was a regular reporter, and in addition I wrote some signed articles under my own name on political and military conditions in the Mideast. And I was for a semi-advisor on the editorial, the actual editorial page on Mideastern questions, which I was thoroughly familiar with, at least more familiar than most people at that time.
Now the Salisbury expedition, would that be the next highlight?
Yes,
yes,
it would be. I was hired to by Captain Salisbury to join his ship, which was called the Wisdom Second, in Singapore. And he and I went out together. The ship had already been out about a year and a half or 2 years. It started from Los Angeles and gone to the South Seas. There was about a 98-foot catch, and it had a motor that usually didn't wait, but it was a beautiful sailboat, and we sailed it most of the time. I was hired for $25 a month to work as second officer and to assist in navigation, which I was able to do on account of my training at the Naval Academy, and I was to get half of everything I wrote under his name or our joint names or my name. And I was wanted to make the trip and was very happy about it.
And you mentioned earlier that he had been financed by some oil companies to make this?
I know, by private oil men. I don't know who they were right this minute.
I see.
I've forgotten if I did know.
Okay. And then